Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian nationalist patriots out there. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, and we are broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt. Thank you for joining us this morning. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Trump Tuesday.
Get the trumpets out.
Poor guy. Oh, my gosh. This guy is just getting, you know, drug through the ringer, drug behind this communist truck. And I want to know who's going to pull this stupid thing over. You know what I mean? This has got to stop. This has absolutely got to stop. I don't know if everyone has heard or not yet, but it says here that from the Citizen Free Press that Judge Merchan tells President Trump he has to be in court every single day of his hush money trial. And this is without a doubt election interference.
Yes.
And so we've got a clip that is just going to set your hair on fire after the break about what they're actually doing to Trump, according to this stupid, hokey, full-blown garbage trial.
It's election interference. There's no question about it. And we've got a couple of clips. One, Trump himself.
Yep.
And then the other one from, I believe, One America News.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll get to those. Yesterday was a long show. Lots of comments, people texting and messaging and saying how much they appreciated it. It was a good discussion.
We were having too much fun.
I know it.
Well, you can't hardly help it when you've got Count Dracula leading the UN. You know, I mean,
that was pretty good.
You know. Gosh, what do you say? It's the perfect guy for that job.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's the ultimate evil sounding man.
Well, he's got the perfect voice.
I know, the perfect voice. Oh, the perfect. You just can envision him in a black cape everywhere he goes.
Yes,
right?
With fangs.
And yes, and his high collar, you know. And,
right.
Oh, only a
and how appropriate night. For the head of the United Nations.
I know, that's what I'm saying. The head of the most evil organization sounds like Dracula himself.
Right.
What a coincidence.
Counting sheep. Count sheep.
Yes.
Who's that?
Yes, he goes, who's
count
that?
Sheep.
Count
who's
sheep.
That?
Who's that?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, good idea. Well, let's get to the word of the day now then. What do you got for us?
Yes. Okay. Well, let's just jump right in there. And so the word of the day coming to us from a random turning, of course, for Trump Tuesday comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, which reads under the title, Mary Magdalene Sees the Risen Lord.
Ah.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And that's it.
Huh.
And
yeah, and of course, this scripture is fresh on a lot of people's minds because just having come off of Easter, you know, the whole resurrection story has been read and people have heard it and read it. And of course, then we've got Passover coming up with the real resurrection day on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits.
That's right.
That's actually the real resurrection day.
Yep.
Pretty cool. So, yeah, this is... You know, this is an interesting scripture, and this was a random turning, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what's always fascinated me is that they didn't recognize him.
I know.
Even his followers who are walking along the road, and he comes alongside of them and says, what are you guys talking about? And they didn't recognize him. And you know, people have speculated, well, you know, he was still probably mutilated, scarred, you know, something. Maybe he had his resurrected body. He was, you know, in this new state. But then what's interesting about this scripture is she thought he was a gardener and didn't recognize him. And then when he called her name, she instantly recognized him.
Yeah, she recognized his voice.
Right. So did his appearance change at that time also, or what? That would be pretty confusing to hear somebody's familiar voice, but it doesn't look like them.
Right.
You know, but she instantly...
Well, and see, this is where all of us can do nothing but speculate as to why you can't recognize him. And in what way could she not recognize him?
Right.
You know, obviously his voice was still the same, but his appearance was so different that, you know, clearly... He just did the impossible, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, here's the other thing. Was Lazarus recognizable when he was resurrected? You know, nobody said anything about, oh my gosh, we don't even recognize Lazarus. I mean, he was resurrected after several days as well.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that Jesus is unrecognizable, but they never mention anything about that with Lazarus.
It is interesting because, and I never really given any thought to that. Well, because as far as I can tell, there's no mention of him looking different. You know what I mean?
Right. Maybe he did. It just wasn't recorded or something. You know, I don't know. That whole story is severely lacking in detail.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
I mean, this guy just is resurrected for the first time ever after 4 days. And, you know, in the history of mankind, here's a resurrection. This guy comes from the dead after 4 days. And there's few details. Really?
Right.
Well, like, because this happens all the time and everybody's just like, oh, okay, time to go, you know, do some chores and pick up the eggs now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
How is that even possible? And so the other thing that is interesting here is that the angels appeared to Mary and Jesus appeared to Mary after John and Peter left, because they initially came to look into the tomb and they see that he's missing.
Right.
And then it says, then the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And so, you know, then while she's standing there, she looks down into the tomb and she sees these two angels in white sitting there, and then Jesus is behind her. So it's just interesting that she stayed behind and, you know, she's crying. She's obviously distraught, whereas Peter and John just took off, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that Jesus decided to appear to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of a sweet thing. Noticing that he, it's almost like he shows up to comfort her.
Right.
You know, and how nice is that, that she's the only one that stayed behind and is crying all by herself and he shows up to comfort her.
Right.
Well, and so then he also says, you know, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Well, and so in verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Well, so he is gone the whole entire day. Jesus stopped to see and comfort Mary, and then he disappears, right? He ascends to be with God, where, you know, it says here, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, meaning I'm not like, this process is not finished. I just made a quick stop to comfort you.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, finished.
and using her as a messenger.
Yes.
To pass the message along to everyone
else. So she sees him unrecognizable because he's not completed yet. in this process. But then when he reappears this evening, he has been with God the whole day, and now he's done. He's right. fully cooked, right?
Right.
You know, he was only partially cooked when he sees Mary, you know, so to speak. And then, you know, he's fresh out of the oven. He's ready to go by that evening where he just appears to the apostles. Well,
yeah.
What it says here in the Bible notes for verses 17 and 18, where it says, "Do not cling to me," reinforces the now changed condition that is to exist between master and disciple, a condition which Jesus tells Mary will be fully inaugurated with the ascension. There is no justification for any carnal presumption asserted by sinful minds that some amorous feelings existed between Mary and Jesus. There is neither any evidence that she had been a prostitute, only that she had experienced a great deliverance in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, nor that her age was even approximate to Jesus's age. Her accompanying with a group of older women argues otherwise in John chapter 19, verse 25. And so it's just interesting that they note too that as he's, you know, as he makes the stop to speak to Mary, he's not done. And it says
right.
here he will be fully inaugurated with the ascension. And so just fascinating.
That's, yeah, it is.
It's a fascinating account. And also that the angels, two angels, were there to accompany him on his journey back up.
Yeah.
You know, how fascinating.
And when you read on, this is a really great account to read about how he reappears to the disciples.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Doubting Thomas shows up and Jesus, "You got anything to eat?" You know, and started eating.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was the whole thing is just a really neat story to go through.
Yep. So, very, very cool indeed.
All right. Well, good. Okay. So this was John.
John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18.
Okay. Got it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break then. Thank you for that.
Oh, praise
word
God.
Of the day. Absolutely. Yep. Want to be in the Word every day.
That's right.
Well, we're going to take a break. Stick around. I've got some clips for you that we're going to be playing. And then, yeah. Looking forward to
got
that.
All sorts of stuff to say about
yes,
that.
Yes, we do. Saving it, biting
wait,
my tongue.
Wait a minute. Was that a pause in the speaking?
It was. It
oh my
was.
Goodness.
Yeah, because I think, do I want to keep speaking and give a little more intro or just save it? So I'm going to save it, because otherwise we'll run away with a 30-minute
right.
segment one. But all right, stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written two books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay forCongress.com.
This ad paid for by the Committee to Elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. It's very simple. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. They want you silent. And I am the only one that can save this nation because you know they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, and I just happen to be standing in their way, and I will never be moving. On November 5th, 2024, justice will be done. We will take back our country, and we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great job.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the Morning Commute. Great to have all of you End Times crew with us. Lady Liberty, segment two. This segment brought to you by TLC Web Hosting. If you have a ministry or a business or a website for any reason, you got to have it hosted somewhere. So why not support a Christian patriot-owned business right here in the American Redoubt? And that's TLCWebHosting.com. Lady Liberty, segment two.
Yes, everyone. Welcome back to Trump Tuesday that we all love so much. It's so interesting how so much happens to Trump on Trump Tuesday. What a strange occurrence that is.
No shortage of material to cover.
Yeah, that's right. That's great for year sure. for it. That's for sure. Okay, so here we've got President Trump speaking out after Judge Merchan informed him that he could not attend his son Barron's high school graduation or he will be jailed. Listen to this preposterous pile of garbage.
Unreal.
Thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court on a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA. Because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing. Over nothing. Over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much. But that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
Yep, exactly. It is election interference.
Wow. You know, I have to just wonder, why is he even tolerating criminal activity?
I know.
You know, first of all, what this judge is doing is flat out illegal. It says that according to 52 USC 20511, criminal penalties for voting and elections interference. It says here that criminal penalties include a person, including an election official, who in any election for federal office, one, knowingly and willfully intimidates, threatens, or coerces, or attempts to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any person for registering to vote or voting or attempting to register to vote. Or it goes on and on, right?
Right.
Or who knowingly and willfully deprives, defrauds, or attempts to deprive or defraud the residents of a state of a fair and impartially conducted election process, and the procurement or submission of voter registration applications that are known, you know, all these different cases where, you know, it describes how this is illegal. Well, it says here that shall be fined in accordance with Title 18, which fine shall be paid into the general fund of the Treasury, miscellaneous receipts, pursuant to Section 3302 of Title 31, notwithstanding any other law, or imprisoned not more than 5 years, or both. So technically, you could receive up to 5 years in prison as well as
interfering with an election.
For interfering with any kind of election, and yet that's not happening.
But nothing happens to these people.
Why isn't Trump saying, he's the get things done guy. Why is he not saying, okay, this judge is doing something that's flat out illegal from the beginning. I need to go over his head. Who do I go to when this guy is acting illegally?
You go to a George Soros funded prosecutor or, you know, attorney general.
There has to be a process that he should be going through right now, because you can't have a crime that you're enforcing upon somebody that's running for office. Well, you can't enforce a crime upon somebody.
You've been saying it for years. We've been saying it for years. This is a coup.
Well, exactly.
This is not a two-tiered justice system. This is a coup. The communists have infiltrated every institution in our culture, from the church to media to the judicial system, through the halls of Congress, and our executive branch of our own government is chock full of Marxist, globalist, communists.
Okay, so here's where the fight begins, right? This is how you step into the correction fight to where this stops, because somebody has got to slam that sword into the ground and say, no, this stops here. And everything is going to hinge upon the law from here on out. And I'm going to keep going up the line until we get somebody that is going to follow the law. And all of the rest of you are going to fall like dominoes underneath that guy as soon as I find the guy that is willing to uphold this law that you're breaking.
Right. It all hinges on people in the right positions to execute the law.
Well, and see, that's the
prosecute the law.
That's the difference. In fact, the court system, the corrupt court system, is very good at ignoring the illegality of what they're doing, and they'll dance all the way around it until somebody brings that to question.
Right.
And I've watched it before in cases where they are taking people's property away from them, until that person brings up where they are violating the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the court wants to settle. They want to quickly get this case shut down and hushed up, whatever you have to do, settle, right?
Right.
It's because the guy finally brought the sword, dropped it in the dirt, and stabbed it down and said, no farther.
Right.
This is the law, and you're not going to break the law in order to persecute me.
Right.
Right. And so this is where Trump is acknowledging this is election interference, but then he doesn't take the next step where he says, now that you're breaking the law, now I'm going after you.
I think that the opportunity there isn't going to present itself until he's in the White House.
Well,
I think that now the best thing that we can do, because the corruption is so thoroughly immersed throughout all of our systems, is that you've got to get in that position. And so, you know, this is where we're hopeful, and this is going to be an act of God. I believe it was the Lord's intervention that he got in 2016.
Right.
And I think it's going to be the Lord's intervention for him to get in again. And the true Americans, him and people that support him, people who truly love this country and want to return it back to its foundations, we just need that opportunity handed to us. We need the reins handed back to us. And, then the house cleaning needs to commence, but I don't think it's going to happen until then. I think
it's unfortunate because
sure.
Sooner rather than later is always better.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially yeah. When we're looking at another, 6 months? 6 months of potential, upending of this nation.
Oh, we could be fully immersed in World War III.
Yeah, within a month.
Right.
You know, let alone what can happen in 6 months.
Yeah.
And so this is where waiting might not be the best strategy for right now. Whereas if you were to say suddenly, I could get a lot more done once I'm president, but if I don't attack the criminal element of what's going on here, I'm going to get drugged through this dog and pony show. And just the fact that, now he's going to miss his own son's high school graduation, for crying out loud.
Right.
He can't even go to talk with the Supreme Court or be there for that, because like he pointed out, this guy apparently thinks he's above the Supreme Court. Even that's how
right.
big that guy's ego
that's
is.
That's how corrupt these people are.
Yep.
And yet
they want to turn around and scream, oh, the Republicans don't want to follow the law. They're unconstitutional. When
yep.
nothing these people do and have done in the past 3 years has been legal at all. And this is where they need to just be nailed.
Yes.
Is with the law. And so here we've got another clip with One American News and Chanel Ryan on this Trump trial. And so listen to what she has to say as well.
With this going forward today on April 15th, what is the precedent that all of this has set moving forward?
I think the precedent here is that the American people just know that it really depends on which city, which state they are in order to render a fair trial. There's not going to be a fair trial in this country if you even remotely have opinions about the political winds. And the problem with what's happening today is that, again, we're putting front and center a case that has no basis in actual legal theory, no basis in a real legal claim, and this is all going to it's going to backfire. At the end of the day, what we have is an American people who have witnessed a judicial system that has refused to go after Hillary Clinton and her campaign, for instance, for lying about funding the Russian dossier. We now know that the Clinton campaign was punished by the FEC for having lied about funding a Russian dossier to try and affect the election. What is this happening today? If this is not election interference by the Democrat Party using the judicial system to alter an election, I don't know what is. So the problem that the Democrats face is a very high burden to prove to the American people that somehow they are exercising a reasonable judicial effort here. They're not. And it's going to be virtually impossible for this case to go forward and not illustrate to the American people that we're just in a very compromised system right now. And that's a very dangerous place to be. The danger is that you have, with election interference of this scale, you have now people in office who are walking us onto the brink of World War III. Dan, look at what's happening in the Middle East with Biden at the helm. Think about why we are now on the precipice of World War III with Iran. Biden, in his first month of walking into office, removes the terrorist designation of the Houthi rebel group. This is an Iran-backed rebel group. And this sent a huge message to the Middle East that the United States no longer is fighting terrorism, that the United States is no longer going to be the adversary to Iran that it was. And then you had the $6 billion worth of funding that the Biden administration released back to Hamas, back to Iran. And then you had Biden hiring as their top Iran negotiator an open Hamas sympathizer, an individual who is now under investigation for his ties and his allegiances. That is what has led us to today, where Iran is attacking Israel. And instead of telling Israel to, instead of standing up with Israel, Biden is telling Israel to stand down. If this is Biden's idea of bring back better, it is only a slow motion Holocaust that he is bringing back. So these trials have consequences. These election interference motions from the Democrats, they have consequences. They result in world wars that are happening that affect all of us. And it's no small matter. This is not just a political scuffle between the Democrats and the Republicans and people who hate Trump. This is much bigger than just a political scuffle. This has worldwide effects. And the Democrats surely know that.
There's so much in there. One thing in particular that she said, if Joe Biden's trying to, bring back better, the only thing he's bringing back is a slow motion Holocaust. Look at what's happening.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. Not, there's no such thing as bring anything back better to a communist that is taking over and subverting a nation. They're destroying us intentionally.
Yep.
And so, until we wake up to that fact and start kicking these people out and putting them in prison where they belong, nothing's going to change.
Right.
And so, speaking about Iran, there's this thing that's circulating. It says there are reports circulating that, per translation, Iranian Parliament spokesman for Security and Foreign Policy Committee said, "We have several advanced weapons that we have not used before.
Oh.
We ask the Zionists to not be retarded and to act rationally." And it says this is a developing story. I just have to ask, this guy is the Iranian Parliament spokesman for Security and Foreign Policy Committee.
Don't be retarded.
And he tells the Jews, don't be retarded. We have several advanced weapons we've not used before. And so we don't know what we're doing. And so we just kind of sent them out. And we fired them anyway. We have no idea what we're doing. So we just fired them. And so don't act retarded if they land on you.
Maybe they got their nukes ready. Maybe these are their advanced weapons that they haven't used before that they're going to. Who knows?
Are they finally figuring out how to fly some of those helicopters and airplanes that were left over there?
Oh, in Afghanistan?
Yeah. I'm sure they
bought a bunch of stuff from Afghanistan.
You remember watching those people. They had never flown any of that stuff. And so they're doing all of these trial runs up and down runways where they're only like a foot off the ground.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're doing.
Right. Self-taught, on the job training.
Right.
Self-teaching. They probably watched a couple of YouTube videos and I got this.
Yeah. Well, is that what they're talking about with these?
I don't know.
We have several advanced weapons that we've not used before, so don't act retarded. That is the craziest statement I've ever, even for an Iranian to make,
Well, Israel is poised and ready, ready to move. They're ready to, Amir Sarfati was saying some intelligence reports were indicating Israel could, have gone yesterday or last night. And right. So, we'll continue to watch it, but they're going to pull the trigger, probably sooner rather than later. And so
that's right.
Maintaining vigilance for sure.
Well, and here we have, in the United States, as of yesterday, it said that there were 15 U.S. states that were seeing mass protests by anti-Israel activists.
Yes.
And that traffic and businesses have been blocked and disrupted. And the debrief for today is, we'll release our civil unrest briefing, but we wanted to issue another reminder that many urban cities will see mass protests today and they will increase as night falls. Avoid such areas if possible and be prepared for delays. In New York City, there has been physical violence related to the riots, but in most locations elsewhere, there have been no injuries. And airlines are also being targeted, so travelers should be aware of those delays. And Kash Patel weighs in on this particular thing, and I like what he had to say here. He says, coordinated illegal activity by pro-Hamas / Palestine individuals literally blocking bridges in two of the largest cities in the U.S., yet the FBI had no intel it was going to occur. Ray and his FBI was too busy watching the baseless prosecution of Donald J. Trump and calling his supporters domestic terrorists.
Right.
So, you know, way to go, Cash. I mean, I like that pointing out that what good is the FBI if they can't even figure out this stuff is happening and how to stop it?
Well, because these are not anti-Israel protests. These are pro-Hamas terrorist protests.
Yep.
These people are waving Hamas flags, Palestinian flags, in some cases ISIS flags. We've seen photos on the streets in New York where these demonstrators are dressed. They're not protesters. They're demonstrators. They're paid Soros demonstrators.
That's right.
They're recycled BLM and Antifa people with a new script they've been handed.
Right. It's just,
and
it's
just about disruption. And these people,
it's about $15 an hour and just go hold this sign.
Right. And sadly, some of them, their hearts really are in it. They really do think that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth. They think that Hamas should have been, even October 7th, should have been even more violent than it was. And, you know, we have CCP intelligence tools like TikTok helping to foment that type of Kool-Aid, that type of doctrine that the young people are swallowing up.
Ridiculous lies,
yeah,
by the truckload. And so, yeah, exactly. That's clearly the wrong thing to be following.
Yeah, if you're a Christian and a patriot, get off of TikTok.
No kidding.
Stop posting pictures about how much TikTok videos about how much danger America is in. You're helping and unwittingly.
Well, and not only that, but any of the Hamas and Palestinians that are actually in those groups are looking at all of those people going, you guys are useful idiots. And as soon as you're done protesting, you guys are going to be the first to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so while they're, you know, smiling at them, while they're being paid $15 an hour to hold that sign for them, they're just going to turn right around and stab them in the back, probably literally.
Right.
And so that's how those people work. And so they got to be careful.
Yeah.
And we've got to oust those people also.
Yeah. We've got a lot of house cleaning to do. I know in Australia, they're toast. Another stabbing, this very well-known Christian, I don't know if he's Orthodox, but in Australia, in the middle of doing a live stream, the sermon, this jihadi comes up and starts stabbing him on live streaming.
Wow.
And of course he was wrestled to the ground by several parishioners. Several of them were injured in the process. But sadly, this rhetoric that we see on the streets about destroying Israel, pro Hamas, you know, pro terrorist rhetoric turns into real action. It's not just harmless kids getting paid $15 an hour by Soros to wave a couple banners. These things turn into,
they escalate.
Yeah, actionable attacks. You know, and so.
Well, and see, this is also part of Article 4, Section 4, which is, you know, covered in my book. Is that it guarantees security from domestic violence,
right,
such as this.
Yeah.
You know, it.
Yes.
Article 4, Section 4 is just like this miracle law that is just waiting to save this nation if somebody would just step up and use it.
Just waiting to be discovered.
I know. It's seriously, everything is going to hinge upon this one law, and that one law is going to wipe out all these problems.
Well,
it's crazy.
It would deal with a lot of problems, especially internally. And we were warned by the founding fathers and Abraham Lincoln. I mean, how many people have come saying that if we are destroyed, it won't be from an army crossing the sea and invading our country. It will be destroyed from within.
From within,
and that's exactly what we got going on even today with Mike Johnson in there helping the adversary. And yet there's another example, unfortunately, another person speaking out against him.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness that people are finally starting to call Traitor Johnson what he is. Listen to what they had to say on Fox News with
Rand Paul.
Yes, thank you.
I want to also ask you about what you heard from the speaker regarding FISA. Can we trust government? Can we trust government to use FISA appropriately and legally?
Absolutely not. Americans shouldn't be spied on by their own government. The Fourth Amendment was put in by our founding fathers to protect us. FISA doesn't obey the Fourth Amendment. And so Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with the majority of the Democrats. As I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, abdication is correct.
And, you know, so I'm wondering, Mike Johnson, what's your excuse for this one? Did you have a classified briefing and you became aware of information that other people don't have, and that's why you decided that it's okay for Americans to be spied on without a legitimate warrant and violate the Fourth Amendment that you took an oath to uphold and defend?
Somebody quick. Put a noose on that guy and yank him out of there.
Grab one of those canes, you know, where they put it around your neck and yank you off the stage when you're done.
Like, quick, before he ruins the rest of the nation.
Before he ruins the rest of the show.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Well, not really. I mean, we shouldn't be shocked by any of this, but we love pointing it out because, I mean, that's Wifflebat Wednesday level
I'm
material.
Sorry, but this is why I'm running.
I know.
This is criminal absolutely every single day. And if I'm going to go there and uphold my oath of office, it is my duty to call them out and put them on notice for breaking the law.
Yeah.
And say, you got to stop. You do this tomorrow, we're sending in somebody after you. Somebody will enforce this. I will find that somebody, and we will go after you.
And anybody else running for District 5, Eastern Washington, for that congressional seat, is a climber.
They wouldn't even begin to know what to do.
No. I'm telling you right now, they're out of their element. They could probably figure out, you know, all the inner workings of where to go and how to show up and what to vote.
And where to park your car.
But they're going to be completely reactive and not proactive. They're going to be maneuvering through a system instead of going on the offensive right off the bat.
That's right.
They're not Freedom Caucus material. Nope. None of them are.
They won't have the slightest clue what they're doing or what to do in response to all of this crazy United Nations stuff that's going on.
No, they're just
going
to be like pinballs in a machine just being banged around and collecting a paycheck and putting another notch in there.
And looking for a place to hide.
Yeah, some of them will be. We know that for sure because of, you know, prior experience.
That's right.
So, I'll tell you what, it's on. That race is. So we're going to have to do a special update sometime on that. Maybe next week after, you know,
the state convention.
The state convention coming up. So,
that's right.
Well, you guys have a blessed day out there. You be safe. Have your heads on a swivel. Go armed everywhere and ready to defend life. And pray for the Republic and pray for Israel. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here for the morning commute.
That's right. You all have a terrific Trump Tuesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.